A reminder of why big data remains a big deal. Today, Frances Haugen, a former Facebook product manager, testified before U.S. lawmakers as a whistleblower. She was armed with company documents to back her claim that Facebook and Instagram can be addictive and harmful to children. Part of her message, Facebook's CEO Mark Zuckerberg has always been aware of the dangers, choosing to put astronomical profits over the welfare of people. Now, to understand this, Haugen described a business model designed to ensure that content gets our attention and keeps us coming back. The more engagement, the more advertising revenue. Profits are pushed ever higher. Bonuses for Facebook executives get bigger and bigger. Now, this is part of Haugen's opening statement delivered earlier today.
I joined Facebook because I think Facebook has the potential to bring out the best in us. But I'm here today because I believe Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The company's leadership knows how to make Facebook and Instagram safer, but won't make the necessary changes because they have put their astronomical profits before people. Congressional action is needed. They won't solve this crisis without your help. Yesterday, we saw Facebook get taken off the internet. I don't know why it went down, but I know that for more than 5 hours, Facebook wasn't used to deepen divides, destabilize democracies, and make young girls and women feel bad about their bodies. It also means that millions of small businesses weren't able to reach potential customers, and countless photos of new babies weren't joyously celebrated by family and friends around the world. I believe in the potential of Facebook. We can have social media we enjoy that connects us without tearing apart our democracy, putting our children in danger, and sowing ethnic violence around the world. We can do better.
Well, there was a lot of discussion today about social media's algorithms and how artificial intelligence is used to calibrate the content that gets humans hooked. Not surprisingly, we heard that hate speech and images of violence guarantee the most clicks and the most traffic. Our ugliest tendencies drive the data for adults and for kids.
Please explain to me, Ms. Haugen, how these ads with a target audience of 13 to 17-year-old children, how would they possibly be approved by Facebook? And is AI involved in that?
It is very possible that none of those ads were seen by a human. And the reality is that we've seen from repeated documents within my disclosures is that Facebook's AI systems only catch a very tiny minority of offending content. And best case scenario, in the case of something like hate speech, at most they will ever get 10 to 20%. In the case of children, that means drug paraphernalia ads like that. It's likely if they rely on computers and not humans, they will also likely never get more than 10 to 20% of those ads.
We want to talk about that now. To do that, I'm joined by Chris Messerol, Director of Research for the Artificial Intelligence and Emerging Technology Initiative at the Brookings Institution. He joins me tonight from Washington. Chris, it's good to have you on the program. This reliance on artificial intelligence, as we heard today, it can lead us to some very dark places. Are we relying too much on artificial intelligence, especially on social media?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me, and it's a great question, and I think really in many ways the question of our times is the reliance of our society on AI to drive the information that we are exposed to and to inform the citizenry about what's happening in the world around us. And unfortunately, in many cases, you know, the AI that has been unleashed on Facebook and other platforms, what it's learned is that, you know, individuals, if the company is trying to maximize engagement, that individuals using their platforms are much more likely to engage with material that is inflammatory, that is divisive, and that elicits a strong emotional response. And so sometimes that could be good things. You know, if it's a picture of your family, and it makes you very happy, right? Other times, and I think this is what Haugen was trying to get to in her testimony today, is that there's also a much darker undercurrent to that kind of engagement. And it's one that we as a society, I think, really need to begin to grapple with as AI learns more about how to stimulate us and drive our engagement towards kind of the darker reaches of humanity, so to speak. Yeah. What it would require, I would say, on Facebook's end is just a greater transparency into how their AI works, which is, again, is the point that Ms. Haugen was making today, which is that, you know, if AI is really the problem here, you know, what we need to do is get a much better understanding of actually how it works. And hopefully her hearing, you know, the hearing she testified in will help to galvanize support towards greater transparency over time.
Let's talk a little bit about Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook CEO. He has had a rocky relationship with the U.S. Congress, to say the least. Haugen said that he is ultimately to blame for Facebook's problems. Take a listen to what she said today.
Mark Zuckerberg ought to be looking at himself in the mirror today. And yet, rather than taking responsibility and showing leadership, Mr. Zuckerberg is going sailing.
There's no one currently holding Mark accountable but himself.
And Mark Zuckerberg, in effect, is the algorithm designer in chief, correct?
I received an MBA from Harvard, and they emphasized to us that we are responsible for the organizations that we build.
The buck stops with him.
The buck stops with him.
Chris, do you agree? Does the buck really stop with Mark Zuckerberg? I mean, is there real accountability here when we're talking about this behemoth of a company?
Yes. I mean, I think of all the points that was made today and that was raised today, I think that's probably the most accurate in terms of the criticisms leveled at Facebook, is that Mark Zuckerberg has a controlling share of the board. I think he has 55% of the shares of Facebook, or the voting shares of Facebook. And as a result, he is literally unaccountable to anyone. Most, you know, competing platforms and other large companies, their CEOs are accountable to a board that can hold them, you know, and kind of pressure them to do the right thing in many cases. But with Mark Zuckerberg, he's not. And so, you know, later in their testimony, Ms. Haugen kind of mentioned the fact that, you know, at one point in time, Mark Zuckerberg was explicitly made aware of the way in which the Myanmar military was using the, you know, Facebook's platform to carry out ethnic violence, and the response was to do nothing. And so, you know, I think her point that the buck stops with Mark Zuckerberg is a valid one, both because he has the controlling power and because within, you know, the role that he has, he's been made aware of what's happening on the platform, and yet things don't seem to change.
What about parents? I mean, parents listening to today's hearing, you know, justifiably should be alarmed, maybe even frightened. What should parents take away from what we learned today?
You know, I think as a parent myself, I think the main thing parents should take away is that, you know, these platforms, and Facebook in particular, it's a great way of connecting with others, staying in close touch with family, for instance, but it can also be used to manipulate and to, you know, create harm, especially for children, and that the product itself is really just not mature enough yet to be able to reliably and consistently deliver content to children in a way that won't lead them into categories of either self-harm or you know, self-doubt, things like that, related to body image in particular. And so for parents who are trying to navigate these apps and figure out, you know, whether their children should be on these platforms, you know, I think especially for younger children, it's really hard to watch today's hearing and come away thinking, you know, yeah, it would be great for kids to spend a lot of time on Facebook Kids or on Instagram for Kids. It's hard to see how any parent would draw that connection from the hearing this morning.
And, you know, at the same time, Facebook's growth is actually slowing. Young people, I mean, if you ask your kids, I'm sure they'll tell you that Facebook is for old people. We know that Facebook needs new users. Can you imagine Facebook with a kinder, gentler business model?
You know, it's one where, you know, one thing that they could do would just be to take out comments and only make it possible to, you know, have, you know, positive comments. But they've tried, you know, different platforms have tried that. It doesn't seem to be working for Facebook in the way that it might for other platforms. And so they've really struggled to create a family of apps that can work for children and be gentle and kind consistently and reliably deliver the kind of experience that I think most, you know, most parents would want for their children. So it's, You know, I imagine Facebook may answer differently, but I have a hard time seeing how that would be possible at this point. And it's going to hurt them in the long run. It's going to be a challenge for them to maintain their relevance that they've had for the past decade.
Yeah, and I can imagine, too, parents are conflicted. I'm sure a lot of parents have their, you know, retirement funds partially invested in Facebook shares. You know, what to do? Big questions there. Mm-hmm. Chris Messerol, Director of Research for the Artificial Intelligence and Emerging Technology Initiative at the Brookings Institution. Chris, we appreciate your time and your insights tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much.